the Economic Development Housing Budget Division for Wednesday, March 4th, 2009 will come to order. You know, and this is, sometimes they say members have privileges, so I just have to tell you that it's Nicole's birthday on Friday, and so we have some cupcakes over here. Oh. Right. So some of the members would like a cupcake. They're on.
What does she work for?
Huh? She works for you. Oh. But I bought the cupcakes.
You didn't pay for this.
Did you really?
Huh? Yes, I did. Oh. Cash. Okay.
Cash. Yeah, yeah. Cash.
I know this.
Okay. Most of our bills today will probably be laid over for possible inclusion in the final bill. So we're going to start out with Senator Dibble and Senate File 931.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Senate File 931. First, we'd like to fill in the blanks, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Lines 15 and line 18.
Let's wait till we get a quorum, okay?
All right. All right. Mr. Chair, members, I think most of the committee is familiar with at least the core of the services that we provide.
Okay, let's
under
go
this
back.
Bill.
Let's go back to the blanks. We have a quorum.
All right. All right. So, Mr. Chair, I propose $200,000 on line 15 and $4 million on line 18.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Hardly enough.
Okay, so. On line 1.15 after the dollar sign, insert 200,000, and on line 1.18 after the dollar sign, insert 4 million. That's the bill as the author would like it to be considered by the committee. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, extended employment for people with serious mental illnesses is a vital service that the state provides and funds. Of the adults with serious mental illness, 75% of those who are in case management are either looking for work or not in the labor force at all. This is according to recent research, most folks with serious mental illnesses would like to have a job, and I think research shows that is extremely beneficial for those who are struggling with this issue. It is, of course, stands to reason, very, very beneficial for the rest of us if folks are gainfully employed and participating in activities every single day and helping provide for their own and participating in our labor force and in our economy. Under the regular extended employment, the projects for people with serious mental illness, these programs involve interagency collaboration, individualized support, consumer involvement. Individuals get involved in the planning of their own services. The development and the oversight and delivery of services as well are supported. Support services themselves include job coaching, facilitation of natural supports, supportive counseling, coordination of support services, job development, placement, training in social skills and money management. Another key feature of this that's very important for our members to know about is that for those who are already employed, having these support services there and available allow providers to step in and help individuals in the workplace if they start running into problems. There's also assistance with career advancement and finding new jobs. But typically, the way this works, Mr. Chair, is as a project is proposed, it first receives 4 years of startup dollars from federal grants. Those are the federal vocational rehabilitation funds. A little bit of state matching money goes into that. Then it transfers into this program, the Extended Employment SMI, Extended Employment for People with Serious Mental Illnesses. What's also contemplated in this bill, and that's the $200,000, is to create some additional services specifically, and you can see it on your bill there, for young people with mental illness who are transitioning from school to work, a gap that's present right now, people who are receiving services through a mental health court, and people with serious mental illness who are receiving services through a civil commitment court. Mr. Chair, this is a well-used set of services. In fact, 15 counties now don't have access to these services. There are long waiting lists of individuals waiting for providers, and currently 23 projects. There were 26, so we've lost some ground. were funded through the state's EESMI program. Mr. Chair, Sue Abderholden from NAMI is here as well to shed some light on this proposal.
Welcome, Ms. Abderholden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sue Abderholden. I'm the Executive Director of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Minnesota, and I'm here to speak strongly in support of Senate File 931. NAMI firmly believes that a life in the community is realized for everyone with a mental illness. And what is a life in the community? A job, a home, and a date on a Saturday night. Unfortunately, many people with mental illness struggle in obtaining a job. At a minimum, there are 151,000 Minnesotans with a serious mental illness who could work if they had some help through a program such as the Extended Employment Program for people with a serious mental illness, or what we call EESMI. But only about 50% of people with a serious mental illness are employed. People with a mental illness need help in choosing and finding employment, ongoing training and assistance for job retention and advancement, and they need assistance in educating their employers about mental illness and reasonable accommodations. Supported employment, which is what is provided through the EESMI program, is an evidence-based practice that produces successful outcomes, those outcomes being jobs. The key ingredients are competitive employment, the consumer decides when he or she wants to begin employment, rapid job search, integration with mental health treatment, attention to consumer preferences, benefits counseling, and time unlimited and individualized support. What EESMI does is recognize that people need real jobs in the real workforce. It recognizes the unique supports that are needed for people with mental illness in order to work. It recognizes that work is therapeutic and that we don't have to wait until someone is cured. It recognizes that people with mental illness often have graduate degrees and want jobs that use. And it recognizes that people with mental illness need access to health insurance and treatment in order to work. It also importantly recognizes the cyclical nature of mental illness and that while people might not need help today, they may need help in 6 months. And it also recognizes that employers, frankly, don't have a clue on how to make job accommodations or to support employees who have a mental illness. And it educates them about mental illness and addresses the stigma surrounding it. You can't recover from a serious mental illness by sitting at home alone every day, smoking cigarettes, and watching TV. We all need a reason to get up in the morning. We all need meaning in our lives. We all need to develop relationships with other people, and we all need a paycheck to live on. Every week, I hear of people who have been newly diagnosed with a serious mental illness who are not interested in applying for Social Security. Why? Because they want to go back to work. NAMI believes that investing in the EESMI program, investing in the future of people with mental illness, will produce an excellent return. There are counties right now that don't serve anyone under this program, such as Aitkin, Itasca, Coochin, Lake of the Woods, Big Stone, Goodhue, Scott, which I believe some of you have those counties in your district. And I have a map so you can see that many of you don't have programs in your district. So we believe it's important to increase the spending so that people in every county in Minnesota can actually have access to the employment supports they need in order to become well. The governor's budget has about $3.3 million in it, so we're not asking for a huge increase. He recommended a decrease of about $80,000 for the biennium, which I realize is small. But we have so many people waiting to get help and waiting to get a job so that they can be well that we think it's really important that it be funded. And I urge support of this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Abraham. Mr. Jensen, what's the budget look like as far as this year is concerned?
Mr. Chairman and members, the witness just explained the base amount for the mentally ill support program is $3.3 million, and the governor cut about $80,000 out of that. And for the base extended employment program, it's $11,250,000. The governor reduces that by $430,000.
Okay,
that's just the general fund.
Any questions or comments? I personally believe that mental illness problem is as serious as the physical illness problem. And I think the big difference is, though, we can't always recognize it openly, and it causes lots of problems in people's lives that even physical illness doesn't cause. And I think somewhere along the way we have to be supporting these kind of programs to make sure people can conduct productive lives and deal with their problems in a positive way. I'm very supportive of these kind of bills. Is there any questions of Senator Dibble or of Ms. Abraham? Senator Parasol.
Mr. Chairman, I have questions about what some of these across the top of this handout mean.
Like EESMI?
Like that one, yeah. Like those following it, yes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, you can see the census, and then it's estimated people with serious mental illness, and then it's the extended employment program for people with serious mental illness, all the years that the project's been available, and then for the fiscal year 08, and then there's the extended employment basic program, which is different than the one we're talking about today.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any questions with witnesses? Okay, seeing none, then we'll, Senator Dibble will lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Senator Dibble, you have another bill. I heard you have to get to Minneapolis.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's a long haul.
We're, it's not like Fargo. I heard you had to get the same call.
We try to treat everybody equally here. And if you have a
big travel, snowstorm blowing in,
a
Mr.
travel
Chair.
Excuse works. So, Senator Metzen, you're not excused. Okay, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Senate File 803. Provide $150,000 in each of the next 2 years, or $300,000 over the biennium. What this would do, Mr. Chair, is would continue to support MinWorks, which is a consortium, a statewide initiative. It's a consortium of three organizations that provide day training and rehabilitation, extended employment services for folks, for people with disabilities. Those three organizations are the Minnesota Habitation Coalition, the Minnesota Day Activity Centers and Association, and the Minnesota Association of Community and Rehabilitation Organizations. And I think most of you are probably familiar with those organizations. They do fantastic work in most of your districts, working with employers who need services from folks. And what this proposal would do, Mr. Chair, is would allow this consortium to work with MinWorks in order to prepare, to combine their efforts to prepare bids for large pieces of work that are being put out by the state and other large organizations, so they wouldn't have to prepare little bids to pick up little pieces of that work. They could combine their bids into one big bid, attract that work in order to gain employment across the state for the folks that they serve. That's a very simple, high-level overview description, but it makes a whole lot of sense. It's extremely cost effective for those organizations as well as for the employers who are seeking the services, eventually what would happen is MinWorks would become entirely self-sufficient, but they're still in the startup phase. It builds on a very successful model from other states. With that, Mr. Chair, we have some testifiers.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'm Maureen Gustafson, Executive Director of Minnesota Works. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. In our current environment, we are all encouraged to economize, combine resources, and share services. Minnesota Works is an example of an entity that is doing just that. We assist rehabilitation service programs across the state of Minnesota to share efficiencies in assisting people with disabilities in obtaining meaningful employment. We provide life-transforming, money-saving services. We do this by responding to the RFP program through the state of Minnesota. For example, last January, just 2 months ago, the state put out a large RFP for one entity to clean all of the state National Guards across the state. It would have been very difficult for any one entity to respond to that bid because of its magnitude. Minnesota Works assisted in combining several entities across the state to respond to that bid and secured work opportunities for people across northern Minnesota to clean those particular National Guard entities in that area. A lot of these organizations do not have the staff to monitor and respond to these bids in a timely manner. So by combining our resources, we're able to do that. We also take a look at combining our particular in-house resources. In responding to recycling bids, one of which that we did for a county, we were able to look at the combined services of one entity that had a shredding operation, another entity that had trucking that could do pickup, and another entity that had the employees trained to do that particular recycling job. So by pooling our resources, we're able to respond to these bids and get work for these various entities that work with people with disabilities. We also market our services to the state and to cities and counties. For example, we put together a package to be the recycling entity of choice for these various local and state governments. We have several organizations that have trained their staff in secure document destruction. They have been trained on the sorting of various types of plastics and other recyclable materials, and in the entire process of recycling. And so here's an entire industry that the people with disabilities can work in that is a very viable industry, both for them and for the state of Minnesota. Our organization is possible also through combined services. Accessibility in Minneapolis provides officing to Minnesota Works. They also provide teleconferencing services. Wacosa in St. Cloud is our fiscal agent. Mendaca provides e-blasting and mailing services. And MRCI in Mankato provides teleconferencing services. In our startup year, which is this year, we've been able to establish our website, our business plan, do a capability survey of all the organizations across the state to take a look at the kinds of work they're capable of doing, doing presentations to purchasers that have been organized through the Department of Administration, and do several site visits and create our committee structure. In the future, we hope to continue to reach more outstate entities and get them involved, continue to do equipment and opportunity inventories, continue to market ourselves to these various entities of government, to expand our committees and the number of people that are involved, and to obtain 3 to 5 contracts within the next year. With me is Mike Greenbaum, who is actually the with one of the entities that we work with.
Mr. Greenbaum.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Greenbaum, and I'm the Finance and Development Director at Merrick Incorporated in Badness Heights, Minnesota, and also manage our work procurement efforts at the organization. We provide vocational services to over 330 people with developmental disabilities, primarily in Ramsey County and Washington County as well. An organization like MinWorks provides a huge value to Merrick Inc. and other DT&H programs around the state by allowing us to go forward and bid on contracts that individually we do not have the ability to get ourselves. Merrick, for instance, we specialize in plastic film recycling, digital imaging, document destruction. And on numerous occasions, we have had opportunities to go get additional work for the individuals that we provide services to. But these contracts are too large for us to be able to put a bid out to do it ourselves. We have very diversified interests and desires amongst those 330 individuals. So sometimes we just can't fulfill an entire contract. And being able to work through an organization like MinWorks, it allows us to bid on the portions of it that we can do and are able to complete in a complete manner. And we have a couple individuals that we provide services to here today to talk to you about the importance that this additional work means to them. We've got Katie and Jason. I'd like to talk to you here as well.
Hello.
Welcome to the committee, Katie.
How are you?
Hi. Please say your name for the record.
My name is Katie McDermott. I've been working with Merrick for 3 years, and I do contracts with greeting cards, and I pack them, and we send them off. But two out of three minimum sometimes that we get contracts in, and sometimes we don't have work. And in order to do the cards, we have to have like men's to send us work so we can get paid. Because money is very important nowadays. You know, you like to go to shopping, and I also have some concerns, like I'm trying to get into public housing, and without my paycheck, I can't do that because I can't afford a lot of things. So that's very important. That's why we try to keep this work going.
Thank you. Jason?
Hi, I'm Jason Watson. I also work for Merrick, and I've also been there for about 3 years. And I do janitorial and some digital imaging, like Mike mentioned. And the paycheck is also really important to me because I have an apartment that I need, an apartment and the utilities that come with it. I had a car for a while. I couldn't afford it much.
So this program works for you guys, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some good things. I'm also involved in self-advocacy, which is I go to MEDACA once every summer and do presentation on self-advocacy and trying to get that moving forward as well. And so, like, the day at the Capitol and everything else moving.
Okay. Any questions? Anybody?
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Senator Dibble. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I had the pleasure of visiting Merrick a couple weeks ago, and I recommend everyone on this committee go see a place like Merrick. It's a very, very impressive facility. It's very close, about 10 minutes away from here. I was telling Senator Saxog about it a few days ago because we were having that hearing on recycling bags at grocery stores, and that's where they do that. They do that at Merrick. It's hard to believe a place of that, a facility of that size might not have the capacity to respond to the RFPs, but they don't because some of these are big RFPs. But I can tell you that folks there are working very, very hard, and they're being paid decent wages, and they're receiving benefits, and they've got all kinds of other things going on, state training, habilitation, extended employment services, and they're providing real value to businesses in our community. She talked about the greeting cards. Trader Joe's is having the greeting cards that they sell brought there to package them and get them ready for putting on the retail line. You know, you name it. There's all kinds of things going on that deliver real value and create multiple of opportunities for folks. And to the extent that that those opportunities can be expanded through just a little investment in the capacity of MinWorks to respond to those large RFPs. I think it's an investment well worth making.
Senator Dibble, I'm having trouble tracking one thing here. In the last funding cycle, MinWorks obtained startup money from the general fund. Mm-hmm. Was it the state's general fund that you got the money from? And how much did you get? Why don't you come up?
$100,000.
$100,000? Okay. And did we give it to you from this committee?
It came from the security. I'm sorry, you did it.
Huh? Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Huh?
Yes,
this committee. Okay. All right. Okay. Now I know. All right. Okay.
Chair, we slipped her in.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's all I needed to know. Are there any questions, anybody? Senator Kielash? No. Okay. All right, Senator Dibble. Thank you very much. Any closing comments? You want?
No. Thank you very much.
Good bill. Please support.
All right. Okay. Thank you all. We'll lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Higgins, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Whiskey, Tim?
We better get that going.
Probably.
Senator Higgins, Senate File 930.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You were kind enough a couple of weeks ago when we had a whole bunch of folks from my district come to the Capitol to give us a hearing on the Minneapolis Summer Jobs Program. Now we actually have a bill for you. We'll just very quickly run through it, if that would be okay. This bill would appropriate $1.325 million each year in the next biennium from the Workforce Development Fund to the Commissioner of Deed for grants to fund summer youth employment in Minneapolis. $325,000 each year is for a grant to the Minneapolis Parks for their Learn to Earn summer jobs program as well. I think it's in everybody's best interest to prepare young people to be productive employees. This summer employment job prepares at-risk youth to enter the workforce, get a job, and do it well and hang on to it. I think the state should continue to be a funding partner, and Mr. Chair, if you have any federal stimulus funds that come to this division, I hope this program could be considered for funding through there, if that's at all possible.
You know something about that?
I don't. Planting a seed. I'm here with Ann Fisher, who is from the Minneapolis Employment and Training Program.
Ms. Fisher, welcome.
Thank you, Linda. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Ann Fisher, and I'm the Youth Programs Manager for the City of Minneapolis Employment and Training Programs. Mr. Chairman and members, thank you for the invitation to return to your committee to recap the Minneapolis Summer Youth Programs that are funded via these workforce development funds. I so appreciate Senator Higgins' work to secure the funding for Minneapolis youth. I'm impressed by her passion for youth, and I want to assure her and you that there are many, many people who work to provide the services I'm about to speak of who share that same passion. I believe this is because each and every day, those of us who do work in youth jobs programs actually see the need for them. We see the good that comes from them having them, and unfortunately, we also see what happens when that summer job is not there. For me, it may be the mom that calls and says, "Is there anything you can do to help my 14-year-old? She's willing to do anything this summer." Or it may be the young man that says, "I got my hair cut for the job interview, just like you told me. I really need to work this summer. My dad just lost his job." Or it's the agency director that said last summer, one of the youth workers that worked for us through your programs used half of her summer earnings to pay their family's rent. Since receiving the invitation to present today, I, of course, have thought a lot about what I want to clearly provide, a good picture, so to speak, of the need for summer employment programs in Minneapolis. I also want to project that the city does an excellent job of stretching the youth funds we receive to serve as many kids as possible. I hope to do this by providing you with some firsthand knowledge about two youth who benefited from our programs last summer. But first, an update. You may remember, or maybe not, I know you're extremely busy, that when I was here last, and it was on President's Day, I mentioned that the city of Minneapolis received 3,300 job applications by January 30th. That was for 1,300 positions. So that meant, of course, that we had a 2,000 youth waiting list. Since that time, and that's only 2.5 weeks now later, our waiting list has grown. As we move closer and closer to the summer, more and more youth are inquiring about jobs. I've heard from agencies who provide the services for us that they now have hundreds, literally hundreds of kids who have inquired about job opportunities for this summer. What I'm thinking is that perhaps these youth who are just inquiring now maybe need those jobs more than the 3,300 that applied by January 30th. So I'm hearing that if the workforce development funds cut by the governor were reinstated, and if you would do, what we would do is go back to that original waiting list of 2,000, and we also want to consider the youth that are now on our waiting list since this last 2 weeks. So back to the two youth participants that I mentioned earlier. In front of you, you have a newsletter that looks like this. It's called Step Up News. State workforce development funds helped to fund these programs. Inside the newsletter, if you don't mind, you'll find some highlights about two students named Amina and Abdilai. They were both in the 2008 summer job experience. Note that Amina is a recent immigrant and that she proudly walked to her job at Abbott Northwestern Hospital last summer, that she first decided to participate in Step Up to make money, perhaps like most kids, but that she soon learned that the whole job experience was about learning skills and making connections that she could use to benefit in the future. Please also note that her words of advice to other youth are, believe in yourself, your employer expects you to be the best you can be. When I read that, I obviously thought, what words of wisdom coming from a young person. Amina goes on to say that without Step Up, I wouldn't know how to be a responsible person, do my work, and get it done on time. I feel honored to work for kids like Amina. She obviously appreciates the opportunity that Step Up provides. Across the page, you'll find a short story about Abdullahi Muhammad. His work experience is at an organization called Phillips Community Television. Phillips is a long-standing partner of Step Up. This organization is located on 39th and Chicago in Minneapolis, but for many years it was on the corner of Lake and Chicago, across the street from the South Minneapolis Workforce Center, and in the Phillips neighborhood, one of the most economically challenged neighborhoods in Minneapolis. When Abdullahi was asked about a summer experience, he mentioned that he thinks he is fortunate to have this experience at Community Phillips Television. He stated that it is really hard for teens to find jobs right now, especially if you aren't 16. He made this statement last summer. It is certain that given the current state of our economy, it may be even more difficult this year for teens to find work. When I was here last, I mentioned that one reason this is so is that heads of household who may have recently lost their jobs are accepting entry-level work that teens could formerly occupy. The unemployment situation many adults are finding themselves in has a ripple-down effect on youth employment. when adults are forced to consider entry-level work that teens could normally secure. If state workforce development funds are reinstated, we'd be able to subsidize more great work experiences such as the ones that Abdullahi and Amina experienced last summer. Lastly, we as adults hear about and are forced to deal with the negativity that our current economic crisis gives us. I think it would be really nice to buffer the youth from the current state of those affairs, provide them with as many positive work experiences as possible while helping them prepare for their future. Please allow me to leave you with one last youth comment. And this came from a thank you that one summer youth participant wrote to his supervisor at the end of last summer, and I happened to see it posted near a coworker's desk earlier this week. It apparently was something she wants to keep in the forefront of her work. It read in part, "My Thank You to Step Up" by Lamont Gray. "I thank you for picking me among a lot of other choices and to give me the chance to gain work experience and money for the next year, and I commend you for having a program in an area where there are not enough jobs." He wrote, positivity is what kids need the most. So thank you again for your time this afternoon and for your consideration. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Senator Higgins or Ms. Fisher? Mr. Jensen, what did the governor do here?
Mr. Chairman and members, the base budget for the summer youth employment in Minneapolis is the $2,650,000. The governor's recommendation would eliminate the $325,000 each year for the Learn to Earn program, leaving a balance of $2 million for the biennium.
Okay. All right. Any comments or questions? Okay, well, we had a pretty good hearing on this last time you were here, and so it's pretty obvious how important the program is and the effect it has on kids' lives. So, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, a couple of the first summer that the kids were out working in the community, they had brand new bright yellow T-shirts, and you'd see the work crews. You know, sometimes they were picking up litter on the streets on one of the main avenues. And they would tell us stories about how people would drive up and they'd say, "Who are you guys and what are you doing?" And they'd say, "You know, we're the Step Up Kids, we're the summer jobs programs." And the adults would go to, like, the corner store, come back with a couple of cases of water and pop to give the kids. You know, the whole community watched these kids work all summer, and I think everybody really appreciated it. So if we could keep these programs, it just does a wonderful job for the kids who see some tough times all over the community, and it gives them a little jingle in the pocket to help them go be a teenager and save for school next year, helping out their families, and it just doesn't get any better than that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Senator Pappas.
Testifiers would like to come join me and pull the chairs up.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm happy to present Senate File 818 on behalf of LifeTrack Resources. LifeTrack Resources is a longstanding nonprofit agency located in St. Paul. One very important work area that LifeTrack Resources is involved in is employment services for legal immigrants and refugees. These services are provided through collaboration with Hmong American Partnership, Vietnamese Social Services of Minnesota, and Jewish Family Services. The Career Collaborative assists refugees and immigrants who are struggling to find stable employment. Many refugees and immigrants want to work, but lack workplace English skills and face other cultural barriers to entering the workforce. The collaborative works with these individuals by using culturally appropriate multilingual employment services that focus on orientation to the U.S. workforce, job-seeking skills, English language training and work-related English classes, and job retention follow-up services. As we all know, new immigrants are going to be a large part of Minnesota's future workforce, and it serves the state well to make sure employment services are available to these initiatives. In 2007, the state funded $800,000 for this initiative out of the from the Workforce Development Fund. This session, we're requesting a million for this initiative that will also allow LifeTrack resources to maintain the Twin Cities Collaborative and the Rochester expansion and meet more of the need that exists today. I'd like to introduce Mr. Dagim Gamida, who is the Career Program Manager at LifeTrack Resources.
Mr. Gamida, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dagim Gamida. I am Program Manager at LifeTrack Resources with Refugees and Immigrant Program. At LifeTrack, we work with a collaborative with Hmong American Partnership, Vietnamese Social Service, Jewish Family Service, and also Intercultural Mutual Assistance Association, which is located in Rochester. LifeTrack Resource Collaborative consists of organizations with a proven track of record helping refugees achieving their employment goal. For the last one decade, we work as a collaborative, and we have a track record for that. Since 1997, we funded with the State of Minnesota. We offered the unique service tailored to the need of community in Minnesota. Many of our clients are unable to use the standard job search strategy, such as using Minnesota Work Center, because of they have limited language skill and the computer skill. Our cultural appropriate multilingual employment service offers job orientation for Minnesota job skill and the work-related skill, job development and the placement, English language training and work-related English classes. We also provide job retention and also flexible services to meet our client and employer need. LifeTrack Resource Immigrant and Refugee Collaborative Employment Program has placed about 2,100 refugees looking for jobs. Our average wage was 9.10 cents. The people we serve have limited English, educational limitation, and cultural barrier. They have a strong desire to work, to earn living for themselves and for their family. What they need is understanding the job market, what they can offer to the market, learn work skill, and assistance and successful connection with employer in this difficult economic time. Therefore, we offer them individualized, culturally appropriate service and a quality employment training. Consistently, we have a waiting list of individuals looking for our training and service because they are not eligible with other state funding program. Helping refugees and immigrants integrate into workforce provide immediate return on investment. New workers reduce and terminate need for public assistance such as MFIP, Minnesota Care, and General Assistance. Earn wage, pay taxes, and invest in their community, both with purchasing power and through entrepreneurship. Immigrants provide new markets, new customer, revenue growth, and a new job to our economy. Our employment program play important role in the community, especially with local employer. Local employer state that how convenient and cost-effective it is to obtain pre-screened and trained employees. They are also express high level of satisfaction with good workers they attract to help them meet their business goal. Now I will introduce Mr. Dave Smith, President and CEO of Boot Kitchen Company, who will tell you how our program effectively works with employers throughout the community to provide qualified employer. Thank you so much for your opportunity.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, welcome.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dave Smith. I'm President and CEO of Buddy's Kitchen in Burnsville, Minnesota. Thank you for allowing me to speak today and to tell you about the value of the employment program of the Vietnamese Social Services. Buddy's Kitchen assembles frozen entrees and sandwiches for customers in the airlines and convenience industries. Our customers include Delta Northwest Airlines, Sun Country Airlines, Quick Trip Corporation, Caribou Coffee, and Starbucks Coffee. Our suppliers include Minnesota companies such as Jennie-O Turkey, Bongard's Cheese, Michael's Foods, Baldinger Baking, and Central Container. Buddy's Kitchen is a very busy place. We currently employ about 170 workers, most of whom are immigrants and refugees from Southeast Asia. Vietnamese Social Services has been an amazing resource in finding good employees for our company. We've been hiring Vietnamese people for over 25 years, and now we also employ people from Hmong, Lao, and Burmese descents. We pride ourselves in having a very productive, happy workforce with very low levels of turnover. Buddy's Kitchen uses more manual methods and less automation in our assembly process, which means we have very good opportunities for people with little or no work experience in the United States. It allows them to get a start. We have a very clean facility, an extremely safe work environment, and the tasks associated with our work are easy to learn. We offer health benefits and just began a 401k program. I'd like to convey to you the important role that Vietnamese Social Services has played in helping us obtain and retain an excellent workforce. The workers they've recruited for us have a great attitude and work ethic. This is in no small measure due to the supportive services from the Vietnamese Social Services staff and what they offer to their clients. They provide orientation sessions on the American workplace, and they help persons who have limited English complete their resumes and job applications. Staff members also work with us and employees to enhance communications at our work site. Transportation can be a problem for many of our employees, and the Vietnamese Social Services Employment Program helps in this area by providing bus passes and arranging worker carpools. I believe that the investment that the state of Minnesota makes in the programs such as this contribute to the viability and competitiveness of companies like Buddy's Kitchen and the overall economic vitality of the state. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any questions of either one of these witnesses? Okay, thank you. You have a couple more, Senator Pappas?
We have a couple of program participants that we can invite to join us. Minette Jazerovic, yes, and Rasulzon Makamov, am I saying your names right? And Tong Bi Wet. So I think the three of you can all come up here with me.
Thank you.
Welcome Minette to the committee. First. Please say your name.
Hello, member of the committee. My name is Minette Jazerovic. I live in Rochester. I moved to Rochester with my family 3 months ago from Michigan. In Michigan, both my wife and I lost jobs due to the current economy situation. We came to IMA to look for help in finding employment. Our DEED job counselor made a contact with a few employees in town to prepare us for the interview and help with our resumes. 3 weeks later, both of us were working. My wife got a job at Samaritan Bethany, and I was hired by Masterson Personal. We are now able to provide food for our family and pay the rent and utilities. I appreciate very much all the help I got from IMA. Whenever I get a chance, I tell my family and friends about IMA and this particular program because there are so many refugees and immigrants like me who need this kind of help. I'm happy to be here today and talk about IMA and help I'm getting from them. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, what nationality are you?
Bosnia.
Ah, from Bosnia. Okay. All right.
Next we have Suze Jean.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and member of committee. My name is Rasul Makhamov. I am from Tajikistan. It's a small country from Central Asia. I live in U.S. only 6 months. We arrived in August 2008 with my family. And 2 months later, I have met with Mr. Gadim, and he said that he can help me to find job, because you know it's very difficult find job in U.S. without experience in working, without references. And my employment counselor helped me in my job search by fixing my resume and making references for me. My counselor tells me what companies are hiring and helps me to apply for these jobs. My employment counselor showed me how to use the computer and apply for jobs. Now I can look for jobs on my computer from my home. My employment counselor also emails me job lists with directions. We filed out applications together and called employers. She also found language schools in Minneapolis, so I can learn more English. She printed directions for me and gave me bus card, and I can to have my additional education English. Sorry, I little nervous, and it is my first meeting speech in U.S.
Doing very well.
We'll mark that down too.
We're reading you.
Now I have a job. Now I'm working in Cup Foods Edina, in deli department, directly with customers, and get to help people each day. I have benefits, and I hope that to save some money to open own business maybe in future after a couple years. Why no? Because U.S. it's country of possibilities. I appreciate my employment counselor's professional consultation and advice in my process of my job searching. All of the information she gives me is very helpful. I learned how to look for jobs, where I can go to school, and how I fill out the forms to prepare taxes. My employment counselor at LifeTrack Resources tells me new things. As a new immigrant, this is a place where you get the support and help you need. I am happy to be here today and talk to you in support of LifeTrack because they have done so much for me and my family. And how I say, I have now a part-time job. I believe that I can do more. I can work more. I can work legally and honestly in U.S. And I believe that after a couple years, I will do a big career in U.S. with LifeTrack Resources.
Great to hear.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to ask Rasul, what was your job in Tajikistan?
Last job was I was independent consultant of Asian Development Bank in office in Tajikistan. My specialization, I am engineer electronics. But you know, after Tajikistan was part of Soviet Union country, after collapse of Soviet Union, 1992, it was very difficult to find job. All fabric and plants was closed in Tajikistan. And last years, I worked like independent business consultant in different organizations.
Very interesting life.
And Matt, yeah. What was your job in Bosnia?
I didn't work in Bosnia. I was 13 years old.
You were 13 years old.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, then
Thank you.
Have Tong Huet.
Tong, take, yeah.
My name is Huet Tong, and I'm from Korean ethnic group, Burma. In 1997, because of political problem, I escaped from Burma to Thai-Burma border. At the time, I was 20 years old. I lived in a refugee camp in Thailand 10 years. I never dream that way, you know, came to the United States. I'm sorry that I can't speak English very well. June 2007, head to Kenya, United States, and I had learned sign English in Thailand. And I had learned English has 3 months. After that, I'm trying to look for employing, and I could support myself, but I was successful in finding a job. And finally, I went to the employment program in Vietnamese Civil Service. They placed me in contract position in Lutheran Civil Service to help me service to help a new refugee to find a house. Then the contract ends in June 2008. I was an employee for 6 months. I returned to Vietnamese Civil Service for a hand to find a job. In January 2009, the staff found a job for me, it could finish. I believe that Vietnamese Civil Service worked for me very hard, and, you know, work for the new refugee is very hard. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Day.
And your English is coming along just fine.
I've been here only 1 year and 5 months.
You'll be
I don't know how to speak.
You'll be good in no time flat. Mr. Jensen, how was this treated in the governor's proposed budget?
Mr. Chairman and members, for our LifeTrack resources, it was $500,000 for the budget from the Workforce Development Fund. The governor does not cut that. There's $200,000 from the general fund. The governor's recommendation cuts $100,000 from that amount. And there was $75,000 for the LifeTrack resources in Rochester. But that was a one-time appropriation in the 2008 session. So that is not in the numbers.
Okay. Senator Pappas, I see that Senator Lynch's name isn't on here. Should we get her added on here? Yeah. Okay. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? Okay, thank you very much. We'll lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Senator Thomson.
Welcome to the committee. We're actually going to vote on this one, committee member, so hang around.
I'm appearing in front of you in relationship to Senate file number 643 related to the Federal Wired Program Participant Unemployment Compensation Eligibility. What this bill does, I'd like to review with you very briefly, talk about the bill some. I have with me Lee Nelson, who is the Director of Unemployment Insurance Legal Affairs at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, DEED, and Dennis Seamer, who is the CEO of a company in Mankato, Minnesota called VTech Incorporated. This is a company that creates electronic component packaging equipment in Mankato and employs about 60 persons. It is Mr. Seamer who came to me with this idea of being able to use unemployment compensation benefits, and eventually we came to a shared work program as a way of achieving the goals that are spoken to in this piece of legislation. To simply walk through the bill briefly, Section 1 provides for eligibility for unemployment compensation benefits for participants in a federal program called WIRE. It provides funding for training for people who are working employees. These are training dollars to help upgrade their skills in the hopes that they'll be able to keep their current employment. The employees would not otherwise be eligible for unemployment benefits because they would not comply with the requirement that they be available for work. And then there are other requirements as well. There is a current state program that provides eligibility for unemployment benefits for workers who voluntarily reduce their hours of work to avoid the layoff of fellow employees. This program is called the Shared Work Program. The bill in front of you treats the employees in the WIRED program as though they were eligible for benefits under the Shared Work Program. What the bill does is allow the commissioner of DEED to waive the current restrictions on the shared work program so that it can make these employees able to access the WIRED program, which is a training program. It allows the commissioner to make a shared work program more flexible to fit the needs of businesses whose workers are receiving this training. An employee can participate with a reduction in their hours and collect unemployment for this reduction of hours while in training during the hours not worked. So that's one of the differences. They are not necessarily available for work because they're in training. The bill sunsets and applies only to those businesses whose workers are receiving training through the WIRED grant. I have a list for your interest of the WIRED grants that are in the state of Minnesota. It's my only copy, but if you'd like to see this, I can make that available. I'd like you to know that the senators who are representing districts where this WIRED grant is available, where the shared work program would be available, Senator Gary Kubley, Senator Rosen, Senator Fredrickson, Senator Langseth, Senator Ingebretson, Senator Jim Vickerman, Senator Dan Sparks, Senator Joe Gimsey, Senator Steve Dill, Senator Rod Skoe, Senator Dan Scogan, Senator Dahl, and Senator Day are all in districts where institutions have WIRED grants already approved that would be available and it could work with this shared work program. The bill has benefits. The employees have future opportunities to increase their earnings, businesses, and you'll hear from Mr. Seymour about this, retain these valuable employees that otherwise would be laid off and possibly have moved to other parts of the country or out of state. Businesses are developing future opportunities through a highly educated, skilled workforce with no disruption to their work teams. Businesses are better positioned to be innovative and develop new emerging markets or opportunities. The regions receive the benefit of business retention and future expansion, in addition to increase of monies being spent due to the increased wages. It slows unemployment, and it stretches the unemployment compensation dollars. I'll leave my comments there. I'm hoping that you'll have a chance to hear from one employer who would take advantage of this should you approve this proposal and help us move it forward. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Seymour, if that's okay with you.
Mr. Seymour, you want to go first? Okay. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, committee members, and Senator Thomason for the opportunity to make this presentation before you today. My name is Dennis Seymour. I'm CEO of BTEC Incorporated. We're a manufacturer of automation equipment, component packaging equipment in Mankato. We employ about 65 people, and the equipment that we manufacture is used in the semiconductor manufacturing industry. We sell this equipment and have sales in about 34 countries besides the United States. We're experiencing, like many industries, slow times right now, and it is an ideal time for us to use slow time to provide training for our incumbent workers, to upgrade their skills, and also to use that time for new product development. The unfortunate thing is it just occurs at a time when cash flow is extremely tight. So we are in a position where we would like to do many of these things. We want to retain these workers. They're critical to our success because they have, over the years, they've accumulated a lot of experience. They've got some skills that, as a team, are very important. If we lose one member, a key member of that team, then we have a very difficult time replacing that individual. So we really want to keep these people together. We do understand that the limits on the shared work program, but this would be an ideal way for us to make use of the unemployment compensation in the state. We could provide this training while these people are getting partial payment from the unemployment compensation. And then we would have equipment, and we would have a more highly skilled workforce. When times turn around, we would have equipment that would be available for the market at the time that the market again recovers. Also, because this is unemployment compensation, it would count against our experience as a company that's contributing to that. And at that time, as the market has turned around, we would be paying this money back in the form of increased payments to the unemployment pool. That's the gist of it. As Senator Sharan has mentioned, the wired grant is in place. Our thinking was there are six manufacturers in the Mankato area that are looking at this along with South Central College. We would get the training primarily for mechatronics, mechanical and electronics training for our people in the automation skills. But there would be a lot of other opportunities for this, too. It could be used for lean training, for quality assurance, for many other skills that are required, teamwork-based skills that manufacturing industries would have, like us. That's my presentation.
Okay. Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Lee Nelson. I'm the Director of Legal Affairs for the Unemployment Insurance Program in Minnesota. I'd just like to say that the department fully supports this bill. I can say that publicly. And we have worked with Senator Sharan on this bill, and we give it our wholehearted support. We want WIRED to be a success. The current shared work program has a lot of limitations. We're working with Senator Saltzman on modifications on the full program, but we need flexibility in order to make it fit for some of these employers. And just some of the examples are current shared work program applies only to hourly employees. Well, we've already had discussions, and some of the individuals who want to have training are salaried employees. So they wouldn't otherwise fit in shared work. This bill would allow them to work within that. There's a certain number of minimum employee requirements in shared work. Those would then not necessarily apply. So we can take a business which wants to come into the WIRED grant and WIRED grant program and make the shared work program fit to make the WIRED grant a success. So we just need that flexibility. The program is not large. Whether it be expanded in the future depends on its success, and we feel that waiving some of the requirements for shared work will ensure that the WIRED program is a success.
So let me see if I know I heard this once already in another committee, but I just want to make sure I understand this. The employees that will be getting the training are not working, but they're getting training to possibly go to work, and so there's going to be a unemployment comp. Or are they working and getting training?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let's say they're working 5 days a week currently. They would be reduced to 4 days a week and then take a day of training, and they would receive partial unemployment benefits for part of those lost wages in that day they're not working. And they may be off 2 days a week during training, working then 3 days a week. So they would receive partial unemployment benefits for those 2 days of lost work.
Okay. And so, Mr. Seimer, you have workers that are working for you that need training or that you are about to lay off? Or how does this fit your needs?
Mr. Chairman, I have a difficult time hearing them, but as I understand your question, yes, we have employees that could use this training right now. They are working for us. They would continue to work for us. We would reduce their hours to 32 hours a week. They would continue to do new product development, and this remaining 8 hours would be used to go to school to learn additional on-the-job or on-job type skills.
And, Mr. Nelson, this is different from the shared work program from the standpoint that they're going to school, as opposed to just losing some hours. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, exactly. They're going to school. But also, as I say, the shared work program has a number of restrictions about it, minimum number of employees, you have to be hourly. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily fit with some of these companies which want to use the wired grant. So we just need the flexibility to be able to adopt the shared work program to fit these business needs.
Okay. All right. And just give me another example, because I got, for example, up at Evelyn Taconite, the workers have taken 32 hours instead of 40 so that they wouldn't get laid off. Is that an example of some place that might qualify for the shared work program?
Mr. Chairman, yes, exactly. That's what the shared work program was all about. I mean, it's in place. It's used a lot. There may be many employers who come forward seeking wired funds who, in fact, meet the current shared work requirements. They may not need this bill, but there are companies who need this bill in order to be able to participate, because their workers need this extra little supplement of partial unemployment benefits in order to take that training, to make the reduced hours.
Okay. Any, Senator Kielash.
Yeah, is there any requirements for the training as far as does it need to be college courses or certified training or any requirements so that, you know, we're actually having people in schools and not just, I don't know if there's any of that in there.
Senator Sharon.
I would, if you would accept, Teresa Kittredge, who is the executive director of the WIRED program, is here and can answer very specific questions about that. But for the purposes of this bill, there is a direct relationship between the use of the shared work, the flexibility in the shared work program that allows some of the requirements under the existing shared work program to be waived for those employers that are using the WIRED grant program. And it allows smaller companies that have or have numbers less than five. It allows people who are salaried rather than hourly wage persons. And it allows employees who, under the shared work program, have to be available for work to not, they won't be able to be available because they'll be assigned to participate in the WIRED program. So any further kind of information about what the WIRED grant offers. The WIRED grant pays for the tuition and the books, and it can be allow for certification and for progression in terms of a degree. The WIRED grant is a very specific program. That there are 11 grants that have been, I think it's about 11 grants or so, maybe.
We'll have 16 total.
16 total soon. So it's a very specific criteria that we're talking about in regard to the WIRED grant. But this bill really isn't about the WIRED grant, except that it connects the two, the employee with the WIRED grant. The shared work program pays for the wages of the person in a prorated way while they're participating in a program that will pay for its educational services. And the executive director is here and can answer very specific questions about the WIRED grant program if you have them.
Do you have anything to add? Ms. Kittredge, you have
no, I'll just say your name. Yep. Mr. Chair, my name is Teresa Kittredge, Executive Director of Renewable Energy Marketplace, which is the WIRED grant. We're a federal Department of Labor grant. It's a $5 million grant to build workforce in rural Minnesota. And as Senator Sharon said, we just went through our first round of RFP funding. One of the grant proposals that was submitted was from this consortium in Mankato of businesses in its South Central Community and Technical College that would be providing the training. And what we would be doing is we would be paying for the curriculum development instruction. And that's where the two marry between the WIRED and this.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Okay.
Mr. Jensen. Chairman, members, the fiscal note before you is costs that are from the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, not the general fund.
And what are the averages we got there?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's kind of a guess, I understand, but it's like $170,000 for the first year, and then that might be $340,000 in fiscal year 10. But that's a very small amount to come out of the employment insurance or unemployment insurance trust fund.
And what do you could be as high as $68 a day apparently of benefits, but depends upon how much they earn. So, okay. All right. Senator Sparks moves then that Senate file number 643 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Any comments or questions? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. The motion is adopted. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Very appreciative.
Cap?
Mr. Chair, members, we are meeting again on Monday, and we'll be hearing, I think, some more shovel-ready bills and then some potentially more program bills.
You're passing on shovels.
Okay.
We
all right.
Come back for the next week saying we're ready.
Happy birthday to Nicole on Friday, and she's going to have some kind of a trip, I think.
What's happening Friday?
It's Nicole's birthday.
Uh-oh, but we'll have to sing.
Yeah,
get your voice tuned
That's what the cupcakes are for, if you weren't here before.
Ken, where is that? Eat a teaspoon of honey twice a day.
Teaspoon of honey?
Sweet voice.
All right, okay. Meeting adjourned.